A team of Italian scientists report that they have discovered a new form of mad cow disease, writing in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The researchers report that this strain attacks a different part of the brain than the one responsible for the British outbreak in the early 1980s. And in fact, this new strain closely resembles one of the human forms of the disease, sporadic CJD. Could it explain these cases? Maybe they're not so sporadic after all. What concerns many is whether existing USDA tests could detect the new form of the disease if it's here. And what does all of this mean for finding and eliminating infected cattle and keeping humans healthy? We'll start the hour today talking about this new form of mad cow disease. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call. Our number 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK. Let me introduce my first guest. Richard Johnson is the chair of an Institute of Medicine Committee on Transmissible Spongiform Encephalopathies. He's a distinguished service professor of neurology, of microbiology, and of neuroscience at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore. He joins us from our office. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Johnson.
Thanks very much, Ira.
Tell us about this new form of a mad cow prion. Tell us what a prion is and why this is a new form of it.
Well, a prion is a form of infectious, presumably, protein. There's a question whether there may be any nucleic acid. I think the preponderance of evidence now is that there is not, and it is purely a misfolded protein that in some way induces other proteins of the same type to misfold, eventually building up and causing disease in the brain and spinal cord.
Mm-hmm. And this new form of mad cow prion, how is it different? How does it manifest itself differently from the one we're used to talking about?
Well, what the Italians did was that it's an interesting paper that came out this week. They examined 8 Italian cattle that had been found to be positive for abnormal protein, the prion, abnormal prion protein. Mm-hmm. And in doing a more thorough examination of them, 2 of them appeared quite different. Not clinically, because there are really no clinical manifestations of this. These were routinely killed at harvest and when they were being butchered.
Because all cows in Italy are routinely.
Not all cows in Italy. I think most, the only place, the only country
Japan,
I think is checking
right.
all cows is
Japan. Right.
Yeah. But they do a fairly large number of cows mm-hmm. and their surveillance program. They had a 1,600,000 statutory cases between 2001 and 2003. I mean, that's a very large number compared to what
wow.
we're doing in this country.
Yeah.
And in that, they looked at 8 of them in detail and found that 2 of them the abnormal protein appeared to be quite different. Different in its molecular mass, different in its staining properties in the brain, different in its glycosylation pattern. And interestingly enough, the distribution of the lesions was such that I'm afraid we might miss it if we look just at the brainstem where we and most people in the world have been testing animals routinely, because the distribution of the lesions was more anteriorly and not so much in the back part of the brainstem. So it's an interesting finding. It raises more questions than it answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of many of the questions have been raised of is, you know, how much of a threat is it? We have no idea. We have no idea if this new strain even is potentially transmissible to humans.
Has this been given a new name?
Given it a term. They've termed it, I'm not quite sure how. Instead of BSE, they've called it BASE, or base.
Mm-hmm. And what age cows were these found in?
Well, the 2 that were found in quite elderly cows, one 15 years and one 11 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, these are old cows.
And so they would never have been tested in the U.S. because we slaughter the cows at, what, 30 months or something?
Well,
like?
No, it depends. I mean, we do have some older cows that come into the market.
Yeah.
And these are the ones that most of the tests are being done on.
Yeah.
And the older cows are, of course, the dairy cattle.
Right.
Most young cattle that were being killed for beef are being killed at about 2 years of age or less.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the dairy cattle that can be really quite elderly, like at these animals, 10 years, 15 years of age.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that since they were found in the part of the brain that we normally don't test for, our tests here would never have picked
them. We might miss that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could that, I mentioned before that this might be a link to what we call the sporadic cases of the human variant of this?
Well, they raised that question in their paper. I'm personally skeptical of that.
Yeah.
And because what we see in medicine is our patients that are distributed geographically evenly throughout the world, they don't occur. They occur about the same rate every year. They don't occur at any particular month of the year. These don't look like outbreaks. These don't look like little outbreaks of infectious disease like we see with flu or respiratory disease or anything else, or like we would see if we had, you know, a small outbreak associated with one slaughterhouse or meat packing industry. They could account for some of the divergences from that. For instance, recently there's been the report from Switzerland that last year, for some strange reason, the rate of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, sporadic Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, was more than double last year in Switzerland. And the question has been, how could that happen? Well, a transmission from another strain of bovine spongiform encephalopathy, another strain of mad cow disease, could explain that sort of divergence from pattern. But whether they associated with the 300 deaths a year in the United States, I would think it remarkably unlikely.
And how would you test or scientifically study to see if that is the case?
Well, I think this is a studyable problem. I mean, that's the good news is the questions can be answered, but they're going to take years to answer and they're going to be difficult. First of all, I think what one needs to do is to test more cattle. I mean, we're not testing large numbers. We're doubling them. The Department of Agriculture is doubling the number this year, but that's still only up to 40,000 compared to these very large numbers we see in European countries. And the second thing is we may have to reconsider how those tests are done in view of the fact that we've got these examples of a bovine disease occurring without lesions in the place where we're looking for them in the American cows. The next thing we need to do is, of those cases that we do find and isolate, is to characterize them to see if they look like the BSE in England, which is a very homogeneous agent. One of those isolates is very like the other. And the 140 cases of human disease that have occurred in England, the so-called variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease that's been associated with mad cow disease, those prions all look alike. They look like they come from a common source. So we can say that the cow disease in England and the human disease in England all look like they have one origin, probably in one cow that developed the disease that then in the rendering process was spread through the cattle population throughout England and subsequently by one route or another to humans. Now, we don't know, for instance, the two cattle that have occurred in the western part of North America spontaneously, whether those are British type of BSE or whether they are another strain like this one found in Italy, a third strain potentially. And to do that, one has to do these kind of studies that the Italians have done, that is, looking at the glycosylation patterns, looking at the molecular weights, looking at the distribution of lesions. It means a much more detail, and eventually, looking in, which they haven't even done in Italy yet, looking at inbred mice, where you can humanize mice that carry the human prion gene, where you can then look and see whether the disease has the same incubation period, the same lesion distribution, and the same properties as the bovine spongiform encephalopathy form, or whether it is a different one, and whether it looks like some human form.
Mm. Is there a worst-case scenario here where it could be spread out throughout the world, this kind of it, and we just don't know about it?
I don't want to make up apocalyptic stories for you.
You'll never make it in this business.
Yeah, I'd rather stay out of that business.
Well, I was trying to go to the extreme there because that's so unusual for us to do that. So I thought I'd try it out.
Well, it's like back when AIDS started and people said, "What if it became spread by the respiratory route?"
Right.
It'd be bad. Yeah, yes. And I think that one could say the same thing here, and one doesn't know. I mean, we don't. I think the one thing that causes a lot of concern among the not only the scientists but among the beef growers, among the consumers in the United States, mm-hmm. is how much we don't know about these agents. And the unknown is always more frightening.
1-800-989-8255. Let's take a phone call or two. Tyler in Lansing. Hi, Tyler.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, go ahead.
I have a question. I was wondering exactly how does mad cow disease affect humans, and is this a serious concern for a Midwest beef eater such as myself?
Well, what I can answer what's happened in England was that when they had the huge epidemic of cow disease in England, 180,000-190,000 cases of disease, and probably about 900,000 cattle that were actually harvested and sold as beef that were infected but had not yet shown signs. So that was an enormous epidemic. And since that, at the time of the epidemic, the question was raised, might this transmit to humans? And the, you know, committees of very knowledgeable people said they thought it was very unlikely, but not impossible. And it turned out it did happen. And there have been now of this disease caused by a prion that is clearly the same origin as the one in the cattle, has caused about 150 cases worldwide, 143 I think it is now in England, and about 5 in France, and 1 in Italy. There was a death of a young woman, or case in a young woman, in Florida, but she had been raised in England and was almost certainly infected there. So, yes, it does get into humans, and in humans it is a disease that has a incubation period, as yet we don't know how long it may be. It is a progressive disease. It is uniformly fatal, 100%, and we have no known treatment as yet.
You're on the an advisory committee to the FDA, and the committee recommended increased testing, and we talked about this.
That's true.
Have you come up with a number? I mean, you kept saying we should do more tests. Have you got a magic number there?
No, I think there are a lot of considerations that need to be done, and I think in view of this new paper, not only testing needs to be increased in number, but we may need to change how the testing's done and the methods of testing is being used. I think that really deserves a total reevaluation rather than just coming out with an off-the-cuff. I think some of the people on the committee recommended that all beef be tested, as in Japan. That would be an enormous amount of testing for a very low yield.
35 million cattle in this.
That's right. Yeah.
Do we have a test? If we were to test for the new kind in Italy, do we have a way of testing that here in this country?
Oh, sure. We could test for that. Yes, indeed.
It's not a complicated thing?
No, we don't need to devise a new test to do that. They pick those up with their standard commercial test that they use in screening cattle in Italy. And then they did detailed studies of half the brains to look for the distribution of the lesions and all, which gave us the information of the distribution of lesions.
So what are you going to watch for from here? What should we look for? What you as a scientist are you going to be looking for?
Well, I'm anxious to hear what's happening with the strains that are with the two Western North American cases, as to whether or not there has been a characterization of the agent in those as yet, or if they have material that makes that possible.
Has been pretty quiet. Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
I guess the bird flu people are very happy. we're talking about prions instead of the bird virus.
Well, my first work I ever did was with influenza, and you know you can grow that in an egg in about 72 hours.
Oh, easy stuff.
And that's compared to these studies that take 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
So it's a different magnitude of when you say, why don't you find out the answer? The answer is yes, we can find out the answers, but it's going to take 10 years.
Yeah, well, you get long-range funding that way. Thank you very much for joining us. Richard Johnson, Chair of the Institute of Medicine's Committee on Transmissible Spongiform Encephalopathies, and he's also at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and change topics and talk about bacteria. Germs. They hate it when I say germs, those biologists, but, you know, bugs, germs, you know, they could be friendly germs, could be like good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. Stay with us. We'll be right back.